Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 5. Acts in chapter 5. On Wednesday nights, we'll be going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter. Now, this has been a study in the Gospels as well as going into the book of Acts. But it has been focused on Peter and just how God had worked in Peter's life, what Peter was able to experience, what he viewed, and what God has recorded about the life of Peter. And that's what we're looking at, and that's what we're studying here, is what God has recorded concerning the life of Peter that we can all learn from. And Peter, last week, remember, Peter was arrested for a second time. But God miraculously sets Peter free. He sends the angel of the Lord, opens up the prison doors, sets Peter free. And we had noticed last week that Peter's love and appreciation for Jesus Christ is witnessed once again in his return to service. Can I tell you that can reveal our love and appreciation for Jesus Christ and how we represent him. How that and what we allow to keep us from serving Christ and accomplishing things that he would have for us to accomplish as we look to be all that we can do before Christ and to advance the cause of Christ. Again, that helps show our love and appreciation for what he's done for us. As Christians, we owe a great debt of gratitude to Jesus Christ and the sacrifices made. And so we find here Peter, right after he was in prison, after he was miraculously set free, he went right back to doing what he was doing before because he knew that's what God would have him to do. He was there fulfilling what Jesus discipled him to do while Jesus was walking on the planet Earth. And now he is representing Christ as all believers represent Jesus Christ. Whether it's a right or wrong way, but you are representing him. If you're saved, you are someone that has Christ in you, and you are to let him live through you. And so we all are representing him, but Peter is representing him in the way that he was trained and discipled to do so. So let's stand tonight. We're going to be starting reading here, and tonight's going to be a little different because we're going to go through some passages in the book of Acts to continue to look to the Apostle Peter, but to get to the place where we know, you know, what Peter experienced. Hopefully that made sense. But Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. What evil, what spiritual blinders these so-called religious individuals had on. And sometimes we wonder, how can people be so blinded to the truth? And yet there's a devil, and that's how. That's how. Let's pray and we'll get into things tonight. Father, we bow before you again. We love you. Thank you for the opportunity that we all have that are here to be in church tonight and for just being able to take advantage of it. And Lord, if we've assembled here, we definitely look to you. Thank you for your presence here. And I pray, God, that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to what you have for us through this passage of Scripture and these verses that we'll be looking at and studying tonight. Just pray, God, that you would just strengthen us and continue to bless and empower the preaching of your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, Peter's love and appreciation for Christ is seen in his desire to get back into the work that God had for him to do. And then they were threatening him once again. And as we've just read, he said, we need to obey Christ. We're not looking to be fearful of man. We want to honor Christ and what he's done for us. And we are going to continue to be his witnesses. Amen. And boy, how we need to hold on to that even today. And we don't know what we might be going through as far as society and the world. And we know the direction they're going. But we just want to continue to be genuine witnesses for Christ, whatever that entitles, you know, whatever that entails. Just wanting to witness for Christ. And can I tell you, his church is what he has designed to help strengthen us to be those witnesses. And outside the influence of the church in our lives, I don't think that we will continue to be the witnesses. That's one of the dangers of being out of our assembly and just watching TV, thinking at some point that, well, TV church is good enough. And that's not good enough. That's not the way God designed it. God designed it for us to be in church, assembling ourselves together. I understand the fear. I understand the situation that some are in. And that's why, again, people are making their own decisions. And you need to be able to do that. Make the decisions, but pray about it. Make the decisions that God wants you to make concerning safety and concerning the assembly of ourselves together. But never get comfortable outside the church, okay? Praise the Lord for being in the church or just something about it. And so he just wanted to continue to be witnesses as we ought to be as well. And witnesses to not invite people over to watch the TV program, but inviting people to come with us to church, you know, and helping them to see the need and to receive the help that God has for us through his church. And so Peter was just showing his love and appreciation for Christ as we do when we assemble ourselves together, as we do when we serve him and we sacrifice for him and we do all that God would have us to do. The religious leaders wanted Peter dead to the point of murder. I trust that you understand that. They actually, what they're going to stand an account of, they're the ones that led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Peter had just revealed that to them as he had already done it before. But they murdered Christ in their minds. Now, we know that God allowed what he allowed because he had a greater purpose in mind. But they actually falsely accused him so that they could have him executed. So they were the ones that had him murdered, if you will. And now they are wanting to murder Peter. And once you get used to doing something, it seems like it gets easier to do it. And whatever that might be. But we find here that they wanted Peter dead. In chapter 5 and verse 34, the only reason they didn't was one of the men on the council, Sanhedrin council, that was there, whose name was Gamaliel. He had evidently a fear of God. Sometimes you get so caught up in religion and you lose the fear of God because you're religious. But he had a fear of God, and he understood that murder was murder. Thou shalt not kill, of the Ten Commandments. That means you shall not murder. And he realized that what they were getting ready to do was in violation of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says in verse 34, then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. So he knew very well what the Ten Commandments taught. And had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And then he talks to them. And again, this is about Peter. He's trying to tell them that this would be wrong to do that. But if you look down in verse 39, the Bible says, and this is what his conclusion came up with, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against the Creator God. Gamaliel there was possibly the only one that had any kind of conviction of even the Old Testament law. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, so they did not believe these men that were representing Christ were in the right. Just like the Apostle Paul, he thought he was serving God, the God of the Old Testament, when he was persecuting the church. They did not have an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. That was the key. He had all this religious teaching, but he did not understand because he never had been taught the most important thing, and that is who Jesus was and is. But he had a fear of God, and he's looking at the law, even by what these others were supposed to uphold, and they were going to break the laws of God. And he says, we can't do this. He says, but if it be of God. Now, he's bringing them back to understand that there is a God. You cannot overthrow it. He's almighty. He created all things. The others had held on to religion, but had lost sight of the fear of God. That's hard to understand when you know who God is and you have a reverential fear of God, but to think there's people that have religions where they've so caught up in the religion that they have lost the fear of God, even the awareness of God. And their religion becomes their God instead of serving God. So that's what's taking place here. Gamaliel talked the council out of murder, and he appeals to any true belief in God. Not trying to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. He's just trying to get them back to understanding there is a God. Now, they held to the Old Testament as their focus on who God was. And this Gamaliel at least held to the assumption in his own heart that God is real. And because of that, he put this fear into them. Well, right after this, they let him go. They beat him anyway, the Bible says, and they let him go, and they left rejoicing because, once again, God had delivered them. God delivered them and allowed them to have opportunities to continue to do what they were discipled to do. Well, now we move on to chapter 7, or the persecution of Christians continued. In Acts in chapter 6 and then going into chapter 7, we find there's so much persecution still happening. Now, Peter is there in Jerusalem. He's witnessing this. Now, the Bible doesn't say much about Peter in chapter 6 and verses chapter 7, but Peter is there in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is under huge persecution of Christianity. And so we find in chapter 7, verse 59 and 60, there was one of the believers that God had called to preach his word, and his name was Stephen. And Stephen stood for his faith, and he preached it just the way it needed to be preached. I love it. We don't have time because this isn't about Stephen, but there is a powerful message that Stephen preaches. And he just put it right back on them. He tries to appeal to their faith in God in connecting Jesus Christ with the Old Testament, as Jesus he fulfilled the Old Testament. And so we find that we have Stephen here who's preaching, and yet they would not hear his preaching. And we find in chapter 7, verse 59, the Bible says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Stephen was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They were murdering Stephen, and he understood that they were now murdering him for his witness for Christ. And he understood this to be the sin of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. They were murdering him, and yet, as Christ cried out on the cross, Stephen, representing Christ, had the very same love for those who were persecuting him that Christ did, because he knew they were ignorant of what they were doing. And Satan had blinded them to what was taking place. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Persecution of Christians continued with Stephen being the most visible one right here. And you think, well, why did God choose to deliver Peter, but he allowed Stephen to be stoned? You know, we touched on that just a little bit last Wednesday, and only God knows his purpose for each one of our lives. And the most important thing is God be glorified through our lives, whether it by life or death. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So it's not a loss for me to die. If that's what God chooses to use my death, then praise the Lord for that. And can I tell you that, look back with me to verse 58, chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witness laid down their clothes. The witnesses laid down their clothes, means those that had the stones are going to stone Stephen, at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. In Paul's writings and Paul's testimony and all the different things, I believe this is the first conviction that Saul experienced concerning who Christ was. And who would have known that at Stephen's death, it would have been the seed for one of the most powerful men in the New Testament. Yeah. Peter witnessed. He's hearing this. He's hearing of the stoning of Stephen. He's there in Jerusalem. He didn't even realize. But he has faith enough to know that God had a purpose for allowing Stephen to be stoned. It didn't keep him from doing what God had called Peter to do. Now, again, we're looking at the life of Peter. Peter is there. Peter's serving God in Jerusalem at this particular time. And this persecution has taken place all around him. Churches all around him. Believers all around him. And one of his close friends that he was part of electing him, appointing him to the deacon board. Stephen was the deacon. Peter was one of them that assigned him to be a deacon in the church. And now he hears that God has allowed Stephen to be stoned to death. How will that impact Peter? How would it have impacted you? How will it impact you at some point when you hear that one of the staff members were arrested for witnessing for Christ? I don't know how long where that's going to happen. If Christ allows the church to go have that kind of persecution, I don't know just how far it's going to go before he raptures the church out, but I'm telling you, it would not be that surprising if we get the wrong people in offices that make laws that go opposite the will of God, and for the church to want to stand for the will of God, the word of God, there'll be persecution. So where would we be? I don't know what to say. There's some that are religious and are saved, but they've never committed their lives to serve Christ. I think it's important that we commit our lives to being witnesses for Christ. Because there's going to be things happen that there's not going to be any immediate reasoning for. Peter's thinking, wow, Stephen. I made fun of him when we first elected him or appointed him to be deacon. Whatever it might have been, he would have had memories. He would have had thoughts. And now Stephen's been stoned. Yeah, that's where we're at. Now we're still kind of moving along here. But Stephen was stoned. There's persecution, great persecution of Christians, and it's continuing. But we're able to read this and find what God wants us to understand is that if he allowed it, by faith, Peter said, God had a purpose. We're able to read that and realize the main purpose was Paul. One of the ones that they laid down the clothes of those that stoned him, he was able to witness it. And Paul heard Stephen receive my spirit. Is that real? This man's faith was powerful. He's being stoned and he's asking God, crying out. He has confidence that God is going to receive his spirit. And then he prayed to not delay this charge against those that were stoning him. I guarantee you, Paul would have thought, no way I could have done that. Outside of being saved, he couldn't have done that. So then we get back into chapter 8. Peter would still be there in Jerusalem and experiencing all of this. And as for Saul, verse 3, chapter 8, verse 3, well, in verse 1 it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles had determined they would not leave Jerusalem. They would not leave the church that they had established in Jerusalem. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. No doubt Peter would have been there for that. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Wow, those are some pretty confident believers. They knew what they believed in. And they knew why they were here. They were going to continue to show their love and appreciation for Christ and fulfilling what purpose he had for their lives. Peter would have been there experiencing all this, I believe it possibly helping some to know where to go. The Bible says that they were scattered, and we know now that Philip is going to be scattered, one of the other deacons of the church, and church members that were under great persecution. Maybe they were losing their homes, and they were in fear of being put in prison, and they come to Peter and some of the other apostles, but Peter, whose life we're looking through, and they would have said, Peter, what do we do? And he would probably possibly been there to say, I believe it would be God's will for you to go to this area because there's not as much persecution, and yet you can preach the word over there. And I believe some of you need to go over in this area because you can still preach the word of God in that area. There's not that they don't understand it over there. You can be a help to them over there. And so they were staying there, but they were very, very active in helping those that were scattered to know where to go. I love that. It's just the reality of what was taking place is revealed here. Well, Philip, a deacon out of the church, he went and he preached Christ and had a great revival. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, just as he would have been instructed by Peter to do. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy. Now, again, this is where the signs and wonders comes in, because they had to have something to look to put their faith in. And it was the words of the apostles represented the words of Christ. We have something far greater than that today that's going to better help us than even seeing a sign or a wonder. We have the word of God. Understand that, but we're looking at what it was like before they had the completion of the word of God, and they had these signs and wonders, and that was for the apostolic age, speaking in tongues. The tongue was for the apostolic age, and it was far different than what they're trying to claim it today to be. But we find that that's why there was a time of history that was different than any other. It was transitioning. And yet we find this taking place. And there was great joy in that city. In the midst of all the surrounding persecution, in the midst of all the other evils that was taking place, there's still great joy in serving the Lord. There's great peace to be found in learning about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He offers and what we have to look forward to. Yeah, so there's great joy. He preached that great revival in Samaria, which then brings us back to Peter. Chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Okay, we're tying it back into Peter now. Okay, all this had been taking place. Peter had experienced all this. But now they hear of what this great revival that's taking place in Samaria, and they send two apostles to this area to follow up on the work that a deacon had been doing there. Amen. Yeah. Peter was specifically mentioned with John. I think there's something to that. Because they worked together. They had a history of working together. We can't take time, but you go back into the Gospels and you find they were both raised with the same things in common. They're both fishermen. And then they both met Christ, who promised to make them fishers of men. And then they were part of, even of the 12, they were part of the inner circle of Christ. It's Peter, James, and John. You'll find those three mentioned several times in several situations that Jesus had for them. And it was even Peter and John that he sent to prepare for the Lord's Supper, for the Passover. We see it again here in Acts, and Peter and John, as they worked together, their friendship helped both of them accomplish more than what they would have accomplished on their own. Peter's zeal was balanced by John's calm demeanor. See, sometimes God brings us together and He allows somebody to be friends with somebody that they need to help them. Peter's zeal could have got him in more trouble than he got in. I believe John was there to kind of calm Peter down, help him to think more clearly. And I believe that Peter was there to help John to say, hey, let's get up and do something. But specifically, we find here that Peter and John, the combination that Jesus had already put together in discipling them. Can I tell you tonight, I was thinking about this when I was studying, and Lord was just impressing upon my heart some things, but thank God for those He brings into our lives who can enable us to do more. I thought back and just remembered some of my early years, and when I surrendered, I was saved when I was 8, but I didn't surrender to commit my life to Christ until I was in my early 20s. And there was people in my life that helped me to know the importance of committing my life. The first independent fundamental Baptist church I went to, even though the preacher there ended up being an idiot and ran off with the secretary, and but that was the first fundamental church that I'd ever been in. I was raised Southern Baptist. Religion, I didn't fully understand the doctrines and how important the doctrines were. It was in that church, and God used it because when I first started going to that church, he was preaching on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a series on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was lacking. I was lacking an awareness of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I didn't realize that's why I couldn't do what the other people were doing that I was running with without having conviction about it. I thought I was weird. And I was weird to the sense that I could not be a part of all that and enjoy what they did as much as they did, but I was always convicted. And it's because I was saved. I had the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And I didn't know that. That's what led me to the youth ministry. Because I realized what happened to me in my teen years, and I thought, I don't want that to happen to any teenagers. They need to understand the truths of the Bible, the doctrines that have been revealed. And there's not a more powerful doctrine than the doctrine of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. Because when you realize that if you're saved, you have that, you're not going to be able to continue to enjoy sin in your life. You're going to have conviction. You're going to have chastisement. It will impact your life. I thank God. I just think about it. I thank God for that, the influence that God brought into my life. Because that helped me to mold my life. And then others that were a part of my life, the first pastor I worked under, then the second, as I was an associate to, that led to the establishing of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And then I looked back and I thought, I've been pastoring 36 years. God allowed me to think of those that he might have used my life to impact. Think of Brother Merv McNair. I didn't know how to be a pastor over staff. And I was challenged tremendously by Merv McNair. I wanted to fire him so many times. And I thought, it wouldn't be right to murder him. I feared God. I believe God was doing a work in this young man's life. He was my niece's husband. Dawn is my niece. I'm her uncle. If for many of you that know Merv. Merv has so much zeal. You can't teach zeal. And young people are attracted to zeal. He had a way of attracting young people. At one time, we had, I think, 15 of our high school graduates in Bible college that come up underneath Brother Merv. I mean, unreal some of those things, but then he would do some things, and I'm thinking, Merv, he's driving down the highway, and I have a parent call me, and my child said that he actually, driving down the highway, got out of the driver's seat and let somebody else climb over him, get in the bus driver's seat without ever stopping. Merv, what are you thinking? You got the lives of all these young people in your hands in this bus. Well, we was running late. Yeah, I mean, God used him in my life a lot, but now he's pastoring a church, doing a great job up in Lebanon. Praise the Lord for it. Him and Dawn just continue, have been serving up there for I think they just experienced their 25th anniversary, something like that. I think of all the staff that I've had in the last 36 years and seeing them out pastoring in other churches now. And I go there, and they're doing things just the way we do things at the Lighthouse. They say some of the very same things that they've heard me repeat service after service after service. Yeah. I thank God for the influences in my life and those that God's allowed me to influence, to see them continuing for the very same cause, being witnesses for Christ, doing what he has called us to do. And I think of deacons over the years. I think of church members. We'd probably be running 10,000 right now if we had held on to every church member that's ever been a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We started several churches on purpose. We started a few not on purpose. But to God be the glory for all of them. We serve together today. 36 years after my beginning pastoring, but today we're serving together today, our current staff. I thank God for each one of our current staff. I don't know what God has planned for them, but I know God has a plan for them. And part of that plan has been being on staff at this church. I thank God for our deacons, our current deacons. It's been difficult this year with COVID and not having to have the deacons' meetings and like we've had before. But can I tell you that we're serving together? And I don't know just what God's plan is for all of our deacons of this church, but I know that God's plan was to have them be a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church. And we're serving together. I think in the membership that we have right now and this year, I mean, I look around and I'm thinking of all the different members that we've had in the past and how we have now. And praise the Lord for how God had a plan for all of us to serve together here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And now I have members all across the United States and churches, good, solid, fundamental churches, that they probably wouldn't have been there if they had not been in this church to be grounded fundamentally with the fundamentals of the faith. And now they get called out and moving because of work or whatever, and they're seeking out churches just like this to serve God in. Thinking that's what God did with Peter. Peter and John were sent to help Philip. Go back there. We're going to close here. I'm not going to get into a lot of what I've got going here, but I want you to see this. Acts in chapter 8 and verse 12. Philip's there. He's preaching revival and seeing many saved. But there's one thing that had not taken place with Philip, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. But when they believed Philip, believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Praise the Lord for that. Both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Philip was doing a lot of these things, signs and wonders and miracles. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Something that Philip as a deacon would not have been as aware as the apostles were aware of what was taking place during this apostolic age, because they actually represented Christ. They spoke the words of God as apostles. And as they come to help, they knew what would help them the most is to receive the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. See, there was a delayed reception of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the beginning of the apostolic age. But that was a reason for the apostolic age. That was the reason. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had taught them as he would ascend, he would send another comforter. And during this apostolic age, that would be completed. They would understand fully. They would have the fullness of the completion of the Word of God to where everyone would be able to understand that because it would be written down in scriptures. They would have the book of Acts to read. They didn't have that then, but they had Peter. And he went down to help Philip, who was just doing the work that God had called him to do. Philip was doing what God was leading Philip to do as a layman. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. And we'll work together to see God accomplish what he wants to accomplish through this Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is something that you might, 10 years from now, look back on and say, God had me there for that reason. And now I'm where I'm at today because of the influences of that staff, of those deacons, of that body of Christ. And some might say, you know, I look back and I've been a charter member of this church. And I've seen how God has worked in every group, in every generation. We're just going to stay here and continue to keep doing what we're doing until Christ comes. I trust that's the mentality that we have. I trust that as we look at the life of Peter and we see all that was taking place, he didn't get afraid because this happened over here and didn't understand why Stephen. And he didn't, but he just kept serving God in the position that God had placed him in. And the word of Christ went forward. And it continued to get more powerful and more powerful, and it was reaching the world. And now they're not only scattered out around Jerusalem, but in all Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, to where it eventually reached America. Because they continue to do what hopefully we're continuing to do now. Serve, be thankful for whom God has brought into your life so you would be able to serve God with to accomplish things for the cause of Christ. If I could have every head bowed tonight, that's all. Keep serving where God's placed us, giving thanks for all that we have to serve beside, to serve with. We're going to have an invitation in just a minute. Are you serving Christ? Are you serving religion with no thought of God? Just following the religion. No, there is a God. He sent his only begotten Son. There is a Savior who's placed his Holy Spirit into your hearts if you're saved. He's equipped you with spiritual gifts and opportunities and abilities for a purpose. Let's focus on that purpose and serve together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word now. I pray that you would just help us just to continue to look to you and look around to be an encouragement and be encouraged to see the cause of Christ move forward. Pray that you would just help us to learn from this lesson in Peter tonight. Bless now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.